If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
We have a very seasonally appropriate topic today, all about letting go. There's a lot of things that we all want to invite into our lives, but in order to do so, we also have to let go of things. So we're going to go through some different aspects of letting go, how to identify things you need to let go of, the benefits of actually letting go, some of our favorite resources, practical ways to let go, and maybe we'll share some things that we're letting go of in our own lives. But first, as always, we will catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then we will get into the topic. This is also a Wake Up with Allison and Kara episode. When I did my proposal one, that was also like our eyes were open and we were recording. So we both have our coffee, except for Kara, it is actually 8 a.m. For me, it's 2 p.m. I've already had a whole day, but I'll tell you guys why I'm like super tired when I get to my catch up. So I have my espresso.
Well, I love that. I love a Wake Up with Kara and Allison episode, but I think you should just go up right for it, because please tell us what your day has entailed.
It's just been a week of a lot going on every day. I don't really know how this happened. I somehow scheduled myself for 9 classes at my studio, which is insane in 1 week to go to 9 classes. And then yesterday, I also tried a new gym. It popped up on ClassPass. You guys know we're huge ClassPass fans. And this gym, the photos got me. It was like so luxurious looking and it was like new gym. And I'm like, okay, I have to go check it out. So I sign up for it. And then I wake up yesterday and I realize that it's 4 miles away. And so that's like a pretty far bike ride to like bike ride 4 miles over there, do a full workout, bike ride 4 miles home. And then Clay and I had like a bunch of activities yesterday and I've had a whole morning. It's Sunday right now already. And I just went to Pilates and I was like, holy shit, this like normally the Mama Pilates, it's like a little challenging, but nothing crazy. But today I was like, oh my God, I feel really unathletic because after 8 miles, well, and we did some errands yesterday. So over 10 miles of biking yesterday and the workout, like, I am kind of sore because I am over 31 weeks pregnant and this is kind of a lot. And so I kept yawning in class and I was like, we got to wake up. We got to record after this. So now I have my espresso. And
you have another class after this.
Yeah, thankfully that one's just cacao. It's a cacao ceremony. Okay. So I can say, I was literally thinking of it in Pilates when we were like with the resistance band, like 20 reps in. I'm like, it's fine. I'm going to be back here in 3 hours, like sipping cacao and deep breathing, having some soft music. But yeah, the city is just alive and well today because there's the marathon going on. Wow. And so when I took Peaches to the park this morning, I was like, holy shit, there's so many people awake. Harlem is a very sleepy city. Like the coffee shop down the street from me on Sundays, they don't even open till 10 a.m. And so I was like, whoa, why is everyone awake today at 8? Like, what are you guys doing?
And that makes sense. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I would have gone to watch if I had known, but I had no idea.
Well, that's exciting. It's anyway, probably fun energy going around.
It was. And so then in Pilates, I'm like, oh, I got to amp myself up. But now I do. I feel like it was contagious because I'm suddenly very alert.
And very active.
So you go ahead. How are you doing? You are on the East Coast right now.
Yes, I'm at my grandpa's house. Shout out, Grandpa John. Recording studio for the day.
Okay, this explains the wallpaper. I thought you were going to be in a hotel, but usually when you're traveling, you are. And I was like, it's not giving hotel.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's giving bed and breakfast. It's actually really cute. They have their whole house decorated very Americana, antiques. I took a really cute picture of this room yesterday when the light was coming through. But yes, it's bed and breakfast vibes, but at my grandpa's house. And I have a work trip on Monday in New York that I got booked for less than a week out. This is just a day. It's one of the companies I freelance for. I'm just going literally working Tuesday. I leave first thing Wednesday morning. And I was like, wait, I have not been to my grandparents' house, both my sides, since March, which is horrible. I had seen my grandpa this summer at the beach and stuff, but I hadn't seen my grandma.
Wait, for his 80th? This is that grandpa?
Yes, this is the same grandpa. Yes. So I saw him for his 80th birthday, but I hadn't seen my grandma since March, which on my dad's side. So I asked if they would fly me, instead of flying me to New York, if they'd fly me to Philly 4 days earlier. And they said yes, which was really nice. I'm like, you know, if you don't ask, the answer is no. And so then I'll just get myself to New York. So here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday around 11 a.m., I'm going to head into the city, which is only a 3-hour drive. I'm taking the bus. There's trains and stuff, but all the train stations are like 45 minutes from my grandma's house. So I'm like, the bus station's 15 minutes and it goes right into the city. And you know what? I'm pro bus. I feel like we know this by now. I've taken the Greyhound, taken the Flix bus. That's what this one is. And they're reliable. They're safe. They're great.
I mean, the fact that all of this worked out for you to be able to see your grandparents, if the worst thing is that you're on a bus for a few hours, like that's a tiny sacrifice. It's not even a sacrifice. Yeah. Like, no, that's so fine.
I know. I think East Coast people, anyone that lives in like Baltimore, Philly, I feel like a lot of them know that the buses are normal. But I think to other people, they're like, you're taking the bus? I'm like, yeah, it's great. So highly recommend if you're on the East Coast, don't skip out on the buses because, yeah, it was 45 minutes to get to a train station. And I'm going the opposite direction of New York. So then I have to go on the train coming back from where I came from. Like I'm going the wrong direction. So the bus is just where it's at. So I'm doing that Monday. But otherwise, spending lots of good time, good quality time with my grandpa, Patricia, his partner, my grandma. And yeah, yesterday we went to a play. So it was funny because my grandpa's like, yeah, we're going to a play on Saturday. I'll get you a ticket. And it was Witness for the Prosecution. It was a murder mystery court case. It was a thriller, basically. Agatha Christie's the author. She writes a bunch of thriller books. And it was adapted into a screenplay. And the twist at the end, I had goosebumps. I had chills. It was crazy. So it was a good Saturday.
Okay. I saw on the notes the words witness and prosecution. And I was like, wait, is everything okay?
Oh my gosh.
That's all you wrote down. And I was like, witness protection program. She's traveling. What's going on? Okay. So it was a play.
Yeah. The play is called Witness for the Prosecution. And if you ever get a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. It was really, really good. Because during intermission, it's a murder mystery, whodunit. And they dangle little clues. They want you to think it's somebody. And I'm like, I know that they did this one thing to want us to think that it's this person. But I'm like, it can't be that simple. And I would have never guessed the end. But the end made sense. I've read a couple thriller mysteries. And the ending, I'm like, yeah, I didn't suspect that person. But also, this is so out of left field, like, to have the twist. There's one book in particular I think of where they're like, this person did it. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, no one was going to guess that because this person's like barely in the book. But this one, it all made sense. And so I'm like, that's good writing.
I love how into all of these murder mystery, different type of mystery things that your family is. And I feel like every time there's a Kirkpatrick reunion of any sort, you guys are doing a game or an activity that's solving something.
That's hilarious. The similarities are uncanny. Unfortunately, you're definitely spot on. But yeah, the play was at a place called Town and Country Players, which is in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. If you guys are ever in Pennsylvania near outside of Philly, it's a barn that they turned into a theater, and it's been doing that for 78 years. It's really cute. There's lots of good plays. Next up, they're doing Shrek the Musical. I think that's going to bring all the kids and families out. And yeah, they've been going for almost 80 years. So definitely go support them. And it's a great weekend activity. Actually, it ties back to our fall curriculum because I was saying, did I say that? Maybe it was my notes. I'm trying to go to more live theater, live music, more of the arts. So I feel like that tied into my arts practice.
Okay, I love that. I don't remember if you mentioned it, but it was at least something in our list of ideas for things to for people to do. So great. Chipping away.
Any other updates on your end?
I went to a mini autumn equinox retreat in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, Clay and I went to this market that's literally right in our neighborhood. It's so cute. It's not even like on a main street. It's like inside a neighborhood. And it would be so cute if you lived on that street and you just like look out your window and you're like, oh, let me just go get some fresh produce or buy a loaf of bread outside my doorstep. Very quintessential, adorable Dutch vibes. And also the prices are insanely good. I got the biggest bouquet of flowers. I have to get a new vase because it's like way too big for even the biggest vase I have. And it was €8.
That's insanity. That's amazing.
Insane. And it's a gorgeous like seasonal bouquet. There's probably like 10 different flowers in it. And when I saw the price, I was like, I kind of feel like I'm like stealing from him. Like, this is really, really good. I mean, I know flowers are abundant here, but yeah, great deal. We also got some like fancy almonds, some dried mangoes, fresh bread. They have a little coffee cart. So I think we're going to try to start going to that on Thursday mornings because it was just like a nice activity. And they have the one in the town square on Saturday mornings. But I feel like both Clay and I don't know, on Saturday mornings, we still really like to have our like either gym or yoga time. And getting up and going to the farmer's market on Saturday morning, like I'm not really ready for that type of thing until like 2 or 3 on a Saturday. I'd like Same. Need a lot of self-care first on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to just be like, all right, let's wake up and immediately start going to do something. So I liked that it was on a Thursday. Made it I more fun for some reason.
I know. A lot of people that go to the farmer's market Saturday first thing in the morning, there's a famous one in St. Louis, the Soulard Farmer's Market in downtown. I've literally never gone because I think it closes by like noon or one. I'm like, I want to start exploring at noon or one. I want to, yeah, walk and get a coffee. Like, I don't want to go grocery shopping at 8 a.m.
Exactly. And like, I want to tidy up the house a little bit, sleep in, do some things for myself, because I feel like once I leave the house, it's like the calm, peaceful home energy is kind of gone. We're in go mode by that point. So same. And Clay has been absolutely crushing the cooking. I mean, he always is. But this week he made an amazing salmon salad, a shrimp salad, and then a fully homemade baked mac and cheese with scallions. And we got like some fancy cheeses, breadcrumbs, steak. And he did something. Oh, yeah. The dates and walnuts were on the shrimp salad because I'm supposed to be eating dates now that I'm like toward the end of my pregnancy. But yeah, he's crushing it. And I'm so grateful that I have a man that wants to cook and not cook like, I don't know, boy meals. Like he makes beautiful dinners for us.
No, and the stuff that he shared, I fully believe this because I remember one time, I feel like I said this, he posted that he made ramen. I'm like, what? I've never thought to make ramen bowls, these beautiful ramen bowls. That was a long time ago. But I'm like, ever since then, I'm like, okay, Clay is a chef. He knows how to cook.
Yeah, like a full chef. And he like will make his own dressings. I had a bunch of glass jars, just like mason type of ones with lids. And he was like, are you using these for anything? Because each week I want to start prepping all of our dressings. And I'm like, no, King, you go for it.
Take it away.
He made this ginger one this week, like fully chopped up the ginger. I don't even know what he puts in these things, but any meal that he makes us, like there's so many elements of it that are like fully homemade. It's not even just like, aww, oh, I made a salad and put my a store-bought dressing on there. Like he is going all in. It's wonderful.
Okay, so both me and Clay are enrolled in home ec this fall. Sounds like we're both on the same trajectory of just cooking a lot, which is really nice. You're Connor, I'm Clay.
It's the best being the one being cooked for, and he doesn't want my help. I used to genuinely go in and be like, oh, do you want me to like chop some stuff? And he doesn't really like how I chop, and I'm just like in the way. So I just stay out, and I'm like, I'll do the laundry, I'll vacuum, I'll do the other stuff, but I'll stay out of your way then.
No, I'm sure you do.
Is that how you are?
Plenty. No, I'm happy to take help. I don't care if things are chopped and stuff, but also I don't mind doing it all either because I'm like, this is a nice, it's relaxing. It's like a nice little hobby. But if Connor wants to chop potato, I hate chopping potatoes. That's my least favorite thing because he's just so much faster. I swear he can do it in half the time. So if he can do it, I'm happy. But if he doesn't, I also don't really care. Not, I'm definitely not as, I don't know what the word is. Yeah, I'm like, what's even the word for that? I mean, I'll take the help, but if not, I'm also chill. So,
yeah.
I mean, I like doing it too. When Clay was gone for those 2.5 weeks, I did enjoy cooking my own dinners. And I was like, I need to capitalize. Like, I hardly ate out when he was gone because I was like, oh, I have the kitchen. I can actually cook for myself. But now that he's back, I mean, obviously no complaints about having someone else cook for me.
Yeah. Yes. Take it. Okay. Should we do peaks of the week?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay, just general peak, of course, being with my grandma and then being with my grandpa and Patricia. It's the best. Hopefully, I might see an aunt or two as well. Still have a couple days. So just getting to see all the family that I live so freaking far away from and getting good quality time.
Well, that's very wholesome. You are a great niece and a great granddaughter for prioritizing family time, especially at our age.
It's hard, especially, when you don't live close by, so...
Yeah, I'm impressed. Good job.
Thank you. What's your peak?
I'm debating between two different things, but they're very related. So one of my curriculum courses is designing a sacred home birth. So I've been really focusing on that the last week. And a not so fun part of it, I watched the documentary Business of Being Born. Have you ever heard of this documentary?
No.
It's from 20 years ago or something, like 2008. And it's pretty controversial. If you guys have seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm actually surprised. I think they took it off Netflix because I couldn't find it on Netflix anymore. So I had to get Gaia, which is like Amazon Prime's thing. And I was honestly surprised it was even on Amazon. But it literally validated every single fear around hospitals and my beliefs on birth to a T. I felt, just so validated because I don't feel like my beliefs around birth are in line with mainstream America, which is a huge part of why I moved to the Netherlands to have a child over here. But I haven't cried so hard. Clay was like, I've literally never seen you like hysterically sob like that. Like it was, I almost had to pause it and stop watching it at multiple points because it was so sad and traumatizing. If you guys plan to be parents, highly recommend watching it if you can stomach it before you make your birth plan. So you could do it a different way if you wanted to. But on the flip side of that, I went and did Reiki. If you guys know what that is, it's like energy healing work. And the theme was all about letting go of fear. And a lot of my fear is tied to the fears that mainstream America pushes on me about birth, pretty much. And that I do trust myself. I want a home birth. I've said that from literally the minute I got pregnant. And even before I got pregnant, Karen and I did a Patreon episode. And I was like, not giving birth in a hospital. And I'm not trying to dog on anyone who did give birth in a hospital, plans on it. If that's what's comfortable for you, more power to you. Ever since I was a kid, I've been terrified of hospitals. And I realized a big part of why I was afraid to ever have a kid is because I like thought I would have to end up in the hospital. And now once I'm like, no, I don't have to do that. It's like, oh, cool. Let's have a couple kids while we're at it. But anyway, back to the Reiki session, and it ties into today's episode. It was all about letting go of your fears. And I think a lot of us hold a lot of fears that we don't even realize are in our body. Because when she started the session, it was like, what are you afraid of? And I was like, nothing. And then like, as it got going, tears are just like rolling down my face. And it's like, oh, actually, maybe I do have some worries that I'm not acknowledging. But between the Reiki session and watching that documentary, I really cleansed out a lot of the worries about birth. And now I feel really empowered because there's this quote that's like, panic is not being prepared. And I think in a home birth, a lot of fears could be around not knowing what to do. And so the way to combat that is to be really, really, really prepared. And that's what we're doing. And yeah, it's not that fun of a peak, but obviously being pregnant, this is like taking over my life.
No, I think that's a great peak and sounds like it was very releasing.
Yes.
And you left feeling lighter.
Exactly. And that's what I hope for you guys with today's episode too. Maybe not, you won't feel it immediately after you listen, but I hope that we can give you some things that you can work on in your own time to feel that way too.
Beautiful. Okay. Awesome. Well, we can read your guys' peaks.
And it's 2:22.
So cute. Hannah said, getting to go to Shanghai, China for a work trip. Amazing. Safe travels and enjoy China.
Eric said, landed a new job after the dreaded search and countless dead-end interviews. Yay, congratulations. Super happy for you. And I'm sure you're also very relieved.
Raina said, I took my 1.5 month old up to the Pines for the first time and got to dress him in cute fall fits. How adorable. I love fall for this reason. All the cute fits. And yeah, sounds like a beautiful day.
And we've been talking a lot about curriculum and being in that back to school energy. So I will read this one from Mac. She said, starting the second year of my master's. Good for you. Way to pursue your master's in higher education. Great energy. Hope it's an awesome semester.
As always, you can send in your peak of the week on our Instagram story box. We post that every Monday.
Fabulous. Okay, diving into the topic of letting go. Like I said, this was kind of stemmed from letting go of fear after my week, but then also with the autumn equinox and the seasonal change going on right now, that's like a general theme of fall. And this sounds super cheesy, but if summer wasn't willing to let go, then we wouldn't get fall, you know?
No,
and all of us
so
love
true.
Summer when we have mm-hmm. summer, but endless summer can be a little, starts to lose its luster. And then fall is so cozy, but at some point, I feel like we all desire change and things to keep moving forward. So in order to get to that next thing, we have to let go of stuff. And that doesn't mean that we don't love it or we don't want it anymore, but it's the natural ebb and flow of things.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it, but there's so many consequences of not letting go because we're not meant to hold on to things forever. And it's just a natural part of the process, not the fun part of the process. Usually the fun part of the process is starting something new, but you can't grab onto something new if your hand's still grabbing onto something old.
Exactly. And there's this trend on social media right now. It's like people think I don't know ball, dot, dot, dot. And there's a lot of different spins on it if you guys haven't seen it. But basically someone posts something that either they know a lot about or they've been through. And I've seen a lot of versions of people saying, I don't know what healing from the inside out looks like or overcoming mental health issues or that type of thing. And it shows them, you know, puffy faced, crying, face full of acne, bloated, all of those symptoms of a dysregulated nervous system. You can clearly tell that they were living in fight or flight. And then you swipe and you see them with clear skin, bright eyes, just a glow through the screen. And anyone who's been on that journey, I think you can relate that the beginning stages of the healing journey weren't pretty. They didn't look great. And we all want that warmth and the love and the glow, but you got to go through the trenches usually to get it and really appreciate it.
Yeah. Nothing we're talking about today is crazy mind-blowing, but this is all a good reminder. And I'm sure when you're listening to this, even when you press play, it's reminding you of things, or hopefully it reminds you of things that you're putting on the back burner, that you need things that you need to let go of. So hopefully this will encourage you to address that sooner.
Yeah. And if you need help identifying some of those things, here's a list to jog your memory.
Jealousy.
Perfect segue.
Okay, podcaster pro.
Number one, jealousy. I was at the park this morning with Peaches thinking of all of the things that we need to let go of in life. And I'm like, damn, this is a long list. Like, maybe I got some issues coming up with 15 bullet points for this category. Uh-huh. But letting go of jealousy, a belief that you don't have time or that it's too late, letting go of resentment in relationships with the holidays being a couple months out. If that one relates for you, I feel like now is a really good time to start thinking about letting go of some of that resentment and healing so that you can have a more joyful holiday season. Letting go of trauma from heartbreak, fears and worries, whether it's about failing or even being afraid of success, the fear of the unknown, the fear of the future, letting go of unhealthy habits, routines, patterns, lifestyle choices, addiction, letting go of procrastination and self-sabotage.
Letting go of parts of your identity that you no longer want. This is a good one. Negativity and complaining. It clouds up your life. Negative self-talk or lack of confidence is included in that as well. Letting go of mistakes that have led to grudges, anger, emotional drain, constantly agonizing over things, people-pleasing tendencies, expectation to say yes to everything, letting go of control. This is one of the first ones I thought of. Trying to control other people and their opinions or what they say or do, because at the end of the day, you cannot control other people and it's just going to cause you a lot of stress and overwhelm. Physical items that are weighing you down, that make your house cluttered, that make you feel heavy or that keep you in a sadness state. If it's something that reminds you of a certain time in your life that you've moved on from or just sentimental items from a time of your life that don't exist anymore? Can you let go of things that are making you feel a certain way? Unrealistic expectations of yourself or of others? And letting go of worrying too much about the future, worrying too much about what other people think, and just being more present and living in the moment.
It's really crazy how many things there are to let go of. But when I think about it, there's always balance in the world. And there's also so many things that we want. There's so much to offer. There's opportunities. There's travel. There's friendships. Like, you can buy anything you want. And so I feel like to keep things in balance and in harmony, we're always going to be asked to give up an equal, you know, it's give and take. If we only got all of the amazing things, it wouldn't feel as good. Kind of like I said, the glow up after makes you appreciate the journey more. And I feel like when you see someone who has so much peace and calm and tranquility and love illuminating from them, it's because they really know what it's like to be on the other side. And so here's some physical signs or emotional signs that you are holding on to something that you need to release. If you feel like you need constant reassurance, if you're drained, or if you have something that keeps popping into your mind, and when it comes in, it just feels heaviness and you have a hard time pushing it away. If you're trying to control an outcome and are continuously met with resistance, or if you have a fear of change and you're trying to prolong this change that's coming up, but it's like a train and it's coming at you and you know that it's going to arrive soon. So you need to embrace it. Otherwise, it's going to roll you over. And a sign is that you're overthinking and trying to rationalize, but your intuition is like speaking and sending little notes. And it's like, hey, this is not aligned and you know it. And I think it will keep shouting louder and louder until you finally listen.
Yeah.
Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And there's so many ways that you can listen to your intuition. I know we've shouted out journaling in the past, or obviously that gut feeling is the number one thing that you think of. But another thing that I've been learning more about, I have that daily prayers, meditations, affirmations book. And recently, the whole month of September has been about your dreams and how much truth is in your dreams. So it's been challenging me to every single morning remember my dreams, which I usually do. I'm pretty good about remembering my dreams, but there's so much truth into what we think about in the subconscious. And I think that this message of letting go can apply to this, because what are you dreaming about? What's stressing you out in your dreams? Is that something that you need to let go of?
Absolutely. I mean, our subconscious mind rules the conscious mind, but we think the conscious mind is in control. And so if you're not willing to rewire your subconscious, then at face value, your conscious mind is like not going to be able to overcome its programming.
Yeah. So what are you dreaming about that's stressing you out? Because there's probably some truth to it. But moving on to why letting go is so hard, there's many reasons. I feel like even talking about letting go, we start to feel the pain and that tension. Of course, identity and ego attachment, we confuse who we are with what we do or who we're with. So if there's a relationship, maybe a friendship or a romantic relationship that you need to let go of, you might, your ego might think, well, I've been with this person for 9 years, 10 years. That's, we're each other. Like you start to associate your identity with that person, but there's so many lists of reasons why that person's not good for you. I feel like your ego might think, okay, well, us as a duo, we're together. Or also, oh my gosh, that's so much lost time. All those years, all that time I put together with that person, it's a waste, which of course is not true. But I feel like identity and that ego definitely sets us back and holds us back from moving on much quicker.
Two quick ones I want to shout under this category are career and your spiritual relationship. I think those are also big identity attachments. If you have been in the same career field for a long time, like the cacao ceremony I went to last week, she was like, yeah, guys, I literally used to be a lawyer. So just know that anything can happen. Or religion, there's many different types of religion. And I feel like the world is in a state right now where people are really reevaluating and changing sides. You see a lot of atheists coming and finding God, or you see a lot of people who had been involved in the church and then they get really upset and leave the church. So whether you're on one side or the other side, or you feel called to explore a different path of religion or spirituality, I do think that that is a really big one under this because of almost like the pressure that we either feel from family or our communities in that, because it is such a big part of our belief system and the lens that we look through the world. And I'm not telling anyone what to believe or how to believe in the religious sense, but I think that one falls under identity and ego attachment.
Mm-hmm. And career, again, the sunken cost fallacy of thinking, oh my gosh, I put so many years into this career. I got a degree. I spent all this money, all this time getting certified in this area, the expertise. And you're so afraid of leaving that, but abandoning whatever you're thinking of is the more beneficial route. So don't let the time and the energy that you already can't change, it's already happened. So just the more time that you're staying stuck in the mud, not changing, you're just adding to that quote unquote time that you're so stressed out about. Just get up and move on.
Another reason why letting go is hard is fear of the unknown. Our nervous systems cling to the familiar, what we've always known, even if it's not in alignment, because it's familiar and because we know what it's like. Our brain can be like, well, I can handle this, or this is fine. And the future, like, what if I give this up and then it's worse? But I think most of us, if we really reflect on something that we were absolutely terrified of, usually once you do let go and then you persevere, it's like, wait, this is what I was so afraid of. This is like so much better.
Yeah. And this one, I always think about sometimes being at rock bottom is so much better than being kind of comfortable in a position that you don't love, you don't hate. Because if you're at rock bottom, it's way less scary to take a risk because you're like, I'm already at the worst it could get. Like, I already hate my life so much. I hate this job so much that changing and leaving is kind of the only option. Because I'm like, I already know that it can't get worse than this. So why not try? So kind of reflect on that. If something's really bad, remind yourself, okay, well, how can it get any much worse than this? Like, take the leap, because I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it is easier when it can't get much worse.
I think addiction falls adjacent to this category too, where if you were at rock bottom and you've been very dependent on alcohol or a drug or a shopping addiction, spending money, all there's porn addiction. If you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel and you're just like, I can't let this thing go and it's controlling my life, you have the whole horizon to look out and be like, I could have all of these other things if I give up this one addiction. And even though it is so consuming and overwhelming, to look past that fog, it can just get so much better.
Mm-hmm. A couple other reasons that we fail to let go: cultural programming. It's seen as success to hold it all together of something, or it might go against the status quo to become, like you said, a successful lawyer or successful doctor, and then quit it for something else. And then also a false sense of safety. Sometimes you'd rather hold on to something than sit in the void. And instead of taking the jump, like you kind of said, with fear of the unknown, we'd rather sit in our comfort.
But on a positive note, what happens when you finally let go of something that was no longer aligned? Your nervous system can finally relax, less being in fight or flight and more in that rest and digest. It's not just the mental side. It's not just, oh, I should really let this go. Like, your body is holding on to that pain and that suffering, and it's manifesting through different symptoms that you might not even realize that it's tied to, like a clenched jaw, stomach ulcers, tension. Basically every form of stress in the body is because there was something in there that your body doesn't want anymore. And it gets so used to holding on to that that you start to normalize either that pain or that tension or that suffering or always being anxious, always being stimulated, always worrying. But that actually, just because that's common, especially in our day and age, that doesn't mean it's normal. That doesn't mean it's healthy. That doesn't mean that that is what your body truly wants. It is much healthier to feel peace and calm and be in rest and digest and not constantly in fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. Also, when you let go, space opens up for new opportunities that are way more aligned, or relationships. You can get more creatively inspired to and put that energy toward the thing that you actually want to pursue.
Letting go also allows you to have a healthier relationship with yourself, because you prove to yourself that you follow through on the things that you need to. And I think this is a really nice reminder, is that the end of one chapter, like, really isn't the end. It's so easy to get in our own world and narrow our point of focus and think like, oh my God, everyone's going to care, or like, how this is all I've ever known. This is my reality. It can be hard to see beyond that, but really no one cares. And you are allowed to be happy. You are allowed to be healthy. You're allowed to do whatever it is that you want to do. And the more you honor your intuition, the healthier relationship you can develop with yourself, because your mind, body, and spirit are aligned and on the same page about who you want to be and how you want to show up in the world.
Yeah, and it just gets you closer to living in alignment with how you're meant to live, what you actually want to be, or what you actually want to do in life. And you have to say no to be able to say yes to things. And I was listening to Diary of a CEO podcast, and he had a guest on, kind of related, but he was talking about how the best entrepreneurs are doing one thing. He's like, I meet people that are doing 10 things at a time, 10 mediocre things. But if they would just drop the other 9 and go all in on one thing, they would see success 10 times faster. So saying no to things makes the one thing that you say yes to work and function so much better.
Absolutely. And that goes with behaviors and habits. When we're all trying to do way too much, there's not enough time. Your body doesn't have enough energy to sprinkle that into everything. So then you're just kind of being mediocre and average to everything. And if you can remove some of that stuff that really isn't actually getting you to where you want to go and put your attention and focus on what you actually truly care about and is going to help you in the future, then yeah, it's going to come so much quicker. And that was a huge thing that I had to learn, because I just always wanted to do everything. I wanted to be the travel girl and the wellness girl and the business owner. We can burn ourselves out trying to do absolutely everything all of the time. And that's just not sustainable.
I also suffer from that personality trait of wanting to do it all. So still learning, still trying to figure it out. But yeah, I think this is a good season of life where we should all challenge each other to sit down, take a look. If you're feeling stressed out, if your calendar's too full, or even personality-wise, if you feel like the weight of trying to control people or trying to put on a facade for a certain personality trait or certain thing you're doing in your life that's just not a good fit, how can we adjust? How can we take the jump and let go to make ourselves feel better?
We also had a guest, Michaela J, on. She's a Nebraska girl. She has a podcast, Mindset, Manifestation. There's another M word.
Magic.
Money, maybe?
Magic?
Magic? A bunch of great M words. We'll link it in the show notes. But one thing that she's said for years is there's no trying, there's just doing. And I think that's a good self-check you could do for this, because the things in your life that you're framing in your mind is like, I'm trying to be this, or I'm trying to go and do that, then you've basically told yourself that you aren't that already. You are not that person. And then that's why you're being met with resistance, because you're not embodying it fully, or you don't believe that you deserve that thing, or that you really actually want to be doing it. So then it's also sucking energy out of you because you're trying so hard instead of just doing whatever it is that you want to be doing.
Should we talk about some of the best ways to let go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, for things that physically require a conversation or require you to quit or require a conversation of sorts, you just have to do it. You just have to stop avoiding it and put a day on the calendar, reach out to the person. I think just when you think of it, you have to do it. I keep thinking of taking the jump, but that is what it is.
I think if you are afraid of taking the action, maybe some steps before you get to that jump point, mindset shifts, doing some somatic practices to bring those emotions up to the surface level, yoga flows that emphasize release, like hip openers, breath work where you are exhaling for longer than you're inhaling. I love this metaphor of shaking. If you think about animals, like you look at your dog, it gets up and it shakes. Like dogs shake all of the time. A toddler, it's throwing a tantrum. It just needs to move its body and express. But as we get older, we stop doing that. But our body is holding on to those things. And there are so many times where it's just like, you just need to like shake things out of your body. Move your hands around, shake your hips around, like flail your head. You kind of look insane when you're doing it, like at home alone, but it feels so good because I'm not much of a dancer and I feel like dance kind of goes in with that one. But for me, shaking really, really works. And so I think if you could start getting those things to have some momentum brought up to the surface, then you could move into journaling about what that is for you and how you're going to actually release it, and then figure out, okay, what's the actionable step now? Like, is it this conversation? Is it shifting who I hang out with? That way, by the time you get to the action, you're like, I have thought this through. I fully believe it. It's a full body yes. I'm not going back. I know I need to persevere. It's almost like the preparation takes like 90% of the time, and then the action is just like, boom, go. Like, then you can follow through.
Yeah. And going back to being in a state of comfort, if right now your comfort is staying in whatever it is, the mindset, the position, the friendship, the relationship that's no longer serving you, you can put your comfort in something else. So maybe you make an action plan. If it's a career that's no longer serving you, instead of staying comfortably in that position, can you have a side hustle that makes you feel better? Can you make a backup plan? I feel like the backup plan, mapping out, don't just quit your job with no plan, but if you have some sort of 6-month plan or whatever it is, setting that up is where you're going to place that comfort so that you can let go of that position or let go of whatever you're doing. Same thing with letting go of anything. If you can maybe map out what you think the future is going to look like, maybe that'll make you feel a little bit more comfortable. So do that through journaling or Google Calendar, whatever it is, just kind of mapping out something that helps you feel less scared.
And if in your situation, this is a forced let go or a forced change where you feel like there's this date that is coming up very soon and you haven't let go, or God forbid someone passes away in your life, but there's also things that we have to start to process and release and forgive that we didn't necessarily sign up for, or it came on a lot quicker than we were expecting. I mean, even top of mind, I can think of like, we got pregnant so quickly. So then once I got pregnant, I really had to start letting go of my life pre-parenthood. And when we decided to move to the Netherlands, I sent that email on May 22nd, and they told us the apartment would be ready on June 1st. So I had to fully let go of my entire life in Tulum and decide to move continents and do so within 8 days. So of course I hadn't emotionally processed that in that 8-day time. I just had to take action, do the thing, figure out the logistics. And then over this summer, I mean, that's probably why I went to 9 classes this week, because it's like, well, sometimes the action does come first if you don't have control over it. But then what can you do to let your body settle into those choices or decisions or new identities so that then, even though if you knew they were aligned, like I still wanted to be a mom, I still wanted to move over here, like your physical body can be there, but it takes the emotional side a little bit longer to catch up.
Yeah, and just a few other ways to let go: not forcing anything, not forcing relationships, not forcing certain parts of your personality or whatever. releasing expectations, whether that's timeline or releasing expectations with how you think certain things in your life should go, a cord cutting ceremony. I feel like you've talked about that before. We can link a good resource for that in the show notes. And journal and burn, another way to let go. Writing a forgiveness letter that you never sent, or writing down what you need to let go of and burning it.
And then last things that come to mind for practical ways to let go are clearing out physical spaces. Like Kara touched on at the beginning, items hold trauma and associations in our mind. We'll also link an episode that we had about clearing out home clutter. It's super fascinating. The way that we hold on to physical things is so tied to holding on to our emotions or past grievances. And so sometimes they're not as obvious as the ones I'm going to say, but try to think for your own situation how they could be correlated. Like, it could be as obvious as still having a sweatshirt from that ex-boyfriend, but it might be more vague. Like, if you have really bad eating habits, are there a bunch of things in your pantry and fridge that are hindering better nutrition choices? If you want to have this new identity, but all of the clothes in your closet are tied to your old identity, then that's a misalignment. Even the place you're living, if you have a vision of what you want for your life, but where your apartment or your house, location, or the aesthetics of it are so off from what you want, it's going to be really hard to move forward when you're either surrounded by objects or an environment that isn't conducive to where you're trying to move forward to.
Absolutely. And to wrap it up, a few more resources that really hone in on letting go. Of course, Mel Robbins' Let Them Theory. It's about letting go of trying to control others, letting go of trying to control their behaviors and letting them be, letting go of trying to control people's opinions of you or just any facet in life, but focusing more on what you can do and how you can let me and the actions that you can take instead of, getting so in your head about what everyone else is doing.
Mel Robbins had gone on Jay Shetty's podcast. This was like 2023. It's an older episode, but she said, talking about herself, she's like, Mel, you're not going to regulate your nervous system by shopping at Target. And even though I think we all can relate where we've gone for material things or shopping binges to cope with our problems, and sure, sometimes in the short term, those can help be a band-aid for a little while, but grieving a loved one or overcoming heartbreak or making an identity shift isn't going to happen in the dollar section at Target. And mm-hmm. I think that was a great shout that she made that brings light to, like, it is hard work. Letting go and change isn't easy. And for some of us, it does come a little more natural than it does to others. But I think no matter who you are, we all struggle with letting go in one category or another.
Mm-hmm. And then the other book recommendation, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
If you guys haven't read that book and you need one book in your life before the end of the year, I cannot recommend it enough. It's pretty dense. If you want to try the audiobook instead, I do recommend that. But wow, that is a profound book.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for being here. There's a few journal prompts that Allison wrote down.
Sure. And I'll give credit to the gal who did the mini retreat. Her name was Joetta, but she had these little prompt cards at the autumn equinox. And here are three questions that I really liked that were on the card. One, what am I ready to release this season so I can step into the next with more ease? Two, what can I do to bring more harmony into my life? And three, what seed of intention would I like to carry into the new season?
Okay, beautiful. I think those are great questions to ask. Great starting points for evaluating what we can let go of this fall. Anything else?
Like we said, we'll link all of this stuff in the show notes, and we do a blog post for all of our episodes on our website too. So if you're specifically wanting the links to what we talked about in this episode, we'll put it all on the website under this episode.
Amazing. Thank you guys for being here for another episode of Already Friends. We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye. If you've been loving the weekly episodes of Already Friends and want even more real, raw, and unfiltered conversations from us, come to our Patreon page. Over there, your support helps us keep this public show going every single week. And as a thank you, you'll get instant access to our entire library of bonus episodes. We even go deeper, talking about things we don't always share on the public feed. Think shocking life moments, friendship breakups, controversial opinions, behind the scenes of our businesses, and so much more. It's only $5 a month to join, And we still add new bonus episodes each month. So if you're craving more candid, cozy chats, spicy takes, and big sister energy, head to patreon.com/alreadyfriends, select the $5 a month tier, and you'll become a member. We'd love to have you. And if you've already joined, thank you so much for the support.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes, to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse-quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. That's omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.